The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin right with Who's Who in Sports, and we're going to go to the third line. We're going to begin with Julian Alfred, Texas Longhorns track. Her height is 5'6". She was born June 10, 2001, hometown Castries, St. Lucia. One of the premier sprinters in the world, Alfred won both the 60 and 200 meters at the 2023 NCAA Indoor Championships, a feat that helped her earn the Big 12 Female Athlete of the Year award. At the 2023 World Championships in Budapest, Hungary, Alfred finished fourth in the 200 and fifth in the 100. Did you know, though, Alfred's home nation of St. Lucia is the only country in the world to be named after a woman? Next, we have Linus Ullmark, Boston Bruins goalie. His height is 6'4". His weight is 213 pounds. He was born July 31st, 1993, his hometown, Lundvik, Sweden. Ullmark had a breakout season in 2023, posting a 46-1 record as the Bruins set the NHL record for points in a season with 135. He also led the league in save percentage, 0.938, and was awarded the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goalkeeper. Ullmark won his first three games of the 2023-24 season. Did you know, though, Ullmark holds the record for the fewest games played by a goalie with 40 wins, 49. The next best totals is 52 by Washington's Braden Holtby in 2015-2016. And finally, A.J. Brown, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. His height is 6'1". His weight is 226 pounds. He was born June 30th, 1997, hometown, Starkville, Missouri. One of the NFL's most dangerous big play threats, Brown averaged 17 yards per catch and scored 11 touchdowns in 2023. This season, he was averaging a career-best 115.6 yards per game through the first 7 weeks of the season as the Eagles started 6-1. Did you know, though, that in 2016, Brown became the second player to take part in both the Under Armour All-America football and baseball games? The first was current Cardinals QB Kyler Murray. How about a few December birthdays? December 11th, Indiana Fever forward Aaliyah Boston turns 22. And coming up on the 13th, New York Yankees second baseman Kleiber Torres is 27 years old. Now, how about some women's college basketball? Trending. Caitlin Clark, Iowa Hawkeyes point guard. Here's a nice picture of Caitlin going up for a layup against South Carolina. As she enters what could be her final season, Iowa's home state hero will look to pick up a few new memories and maybe one new banner to mark her journey. As fans swarmed outside her bus cheering and waving homemade signs while television cameras rolled, Caitlin Clark realized she was in her pajamas. She had been so exhausted by her pursuit of a title that she hadn't considered what awaited at the end of the ride. Clark was back in her home state of Iowa, a place she had always loved and one that had come to love her back. This was the aftermath of the 2023 NCAA tournament. An electrifying run had ended in the first title game in program history, and the driving force was Clark, a junior guard who spent the month turning heads and smashing records. No college player, male or female, has scored as much in one tournament. No one had recorded a 40-point tournament triple-double. No one had sunk so many postseason threes. Clark finished short of a title, with Iowa falling to LSU in the final 102-85. But she helped secure a new kind of attention. Viewership for the tournament had exploded. Clark had done something the game had never quite seen under a spotlight it had never quite experienced. And then the bus came to a stop. Clark found a simple answer for the moment in front of her. She pulled a sweatshirt on before signing autographs and posing for pictures in her pajama pants. But there would be plenty more questions. Her star had been steadily rising over the past 3 years since she arrived on campus as a heralded recruit from West Des Moines. And in the space of a few weeks, it had exploded. She now had to figure out what that meant. It turned out it meant taking some time away from the game. For the next 2 weeks, Clark did not pick up a basketball, and instead she picked up everything that had come with her. "I felt like I had collected all these NCAA items," Clark says, "like a million things from the whole trip. The cowboy hat she and her teammate got at the Final Four in Dallas, mementos from their sightseeing at the Sweet 16 in Seattle." As she unpacked, Clark went through every souvenir and scrap of paper, trying to commit the story of each to memory. "Obviously, I remember the basketball games really well," Clark says, "but it was all the little experiences in between." More memories appear inevitable. In August, Iowa announced it had sold out the entire basketball season. Demand for season tickets was so overwhelming they could not promise any single game offerings. The mania had spread beyond campus, too. When the AAA Iowa Cubs gave out a Caitlin Clark bobblehead in June, fans started getting in line at 6 a.m. And Clark received perhaps the biggest honor of all in August. Her likeness was sculpted in butter at the Iowa State Fair. "I mean, people go to the fair just to see the butter sculptures, especially the butter cow," Clark says. "For me to be next to the butter cow, that's a pretty big deal." It's easy to see why everyone in Iowa is so excited. As a freshman, she led the nation in scoring. As a sophomore, she led the nation in scoring and assists per game, something no one had ever done. As a junior, she scored more, 27.8 points per game, dished out more assists, 8.6, and ran the table on national awards. It's not just about the numbers. Clark regularly attempts moves that might otherwise be classified somewhere between unwise and impossible, like launching threes from the logo. Her coaches praise her vision. The Hawkeyes know how to be ready for a pass from Clark at any time. A transition full court. Nothing is off limits. She just sees the floor in a completely different way, says former Iowa center Monica Gisano. Clark's success didn't come easily. From her first practice, it was super obvious her skill level was off the charts, Gisano says. But Gisano picked up on something else, too. There was a lot of growth to be done in the team compartment, she says. She had to be the person for so many years that it was apparent that she was going to need to trust us. That takes time when you're like a child prodigy. Clark, who is hyper-competitive, faced a steep learning curve in modulating her emotions. "That's what's been more challenging or more time-consuming," she says. "I put more work into that." Still, Clark has always been known as a good teammate. Off the court, she's silly and goofy, Gisano says, like a little sister. But her development as a leader and facilitator has been striking. Clark has the option of returning to Iowa for a fifth year in 2024, but she insists she's genuinely unsure whether she will. "Either I'm going to be coming back to something that I really love," Clark says, "or I could start my pro career, which was my dream ever since I was a little kid." For now, at least, she belongs to her home state. "She's been great for Iowa," says Coach Jan Jensen, "but I'm telling you, Iowa has been really great for her." So it shows here a few pictures here on page 50, right in the middle. Insight, Clark, who scored 1,000 55 points last year, needs 950 to surpass LSU's Pete Maravich and become the highest scoring player in NCAA history. Obviously, in the caption here on page 51, obviously I remember the basketball games really well, but was all the little experiences in between. And here's a picture on the top of page 51, her dribbling into a spot to help her teammates execute a play. And right in the middle of page 50, she's sitting down laughing, just in a nice picture pose. What we're in for, or what we're thankful for in 2023, it was this or history of turkeys in sports. We couldn't find enough turkeys. Deion Sanders, new gig. Coach Prime, as he likes to be called, ruffled some feathers when he arrived at the University of Colorado. A viral video of Sanders addressing his new team showed him urging players who had gone 1-11 the season before to enter the transfer portal. "I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louis Vuitton," he said, referring to transfers he expected to arrive in Boulder soon. But Sanders backed up his talk with early statement wins against TCU, Nebraska, and Colorado State. With Sun Shador and Shiloh leading the way, Coach Prime transformed the Buffaloes into a family business and must-watch TV. Goalies who score. It has happened only 16 times in NHL history, and this year gave us one of those times. With his Bruins leading 2-1 late in the February contest against the Canucks, Linus Ullmark grabbed a dumped-in puck and made a cross-ice bid at Vancouver's empty net. A moment later, his teammates mobbed him. Coco Gauff. For years, she was hailed as the future of United States tennis and women's tennis. Well, the future is now. Coco Gauff won the United States Open in September, defeating Arina Sabalenka 2-6, 6-3, 6-2 in the final. The victory made her the first United States teenager to win a major tournament since Serena Williams in 1999. After the tournament, Gauff vaulted to a number 3 ranking in singles and number 1 in doubles. Liam Hendricks. In January, the White Sox closer announced he had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Then, after undergoing treatment, Hendricks returned to the mound in May. "I've accomplished almost everything I've ever wanted to accomplish," Hendricks told Kid reporter Carlo Volandi. "My goal moving forward is trying to help that next person out, and that's something that I take a lot more pride in than anything I do on the field." Chuck, Chuck, Chuck. We said it before, but we're still thankful for Charles Barkley, who last year signed a 10-year contract extension with TNT. One of his greatest quotes from the year came on a podcast with Bill Simmons. "At some point, LeBron's going to have to say, 'AD, I'm 100 years old. It's about time for you to be the best player.'" Old man LeBron. Speaking of LeBron James being 100 years old, well, he's not quite there yet. But he is officially the oldest player in the NBA following the retirement of his former teammate, Udonis Haslem. James, who turns 39 this December, has to be the most dominant player to ever own the oldest crown, following a season in which he averaged 28.9 points per game. "We hope he plays until 50. Long live the king." New D.C. owners. We're not going to waste any space ragging on the previous Commanders owners. They spent a lot of money on payroll over the years, and it rarely worked out. Luckily for their loyal fans, however, a change had finally happened at the top, when a new group led by Josh Harris on the left, the managing partner of the New Jersey Devils and Philadelphia 76ers, stepped up to purchase the team for more than $6 billion. Whew. The pitch clock. Major League Baseball's new pitch clock had its doubters going into last season, but we think it was a rousing success. Game time decreased by 24 minutes on average to 2 hours and 40 minutes. That meant less time watching baseball and more time reading about baseball in magazines, which is always better. The other rule changes panned out too. Batting average and stolen bases spiked. Messi comes statewide. With apologies to our French readers, if you exist, bonjour, Lionel Messi's arrival in the United States from PSG can only be a good thing. Interest in Major League Soccer games has never been higher, and Messi sells out arenas whenever he enters Miami on the road. An informal survey of the kids walking by outside our office indicates that the pink number 10 jersey has become the fashion statement of 2023 and will likely remain so in 2024. Shohei Ohtani's historic 2023 ended on a sour note. The Angels, after not trading the superstar at the deadline, collapsed down the stretch and never really threatened for a playoff spot. Then injuries forced Ohtani to stop pitching and eventually playing at all. Despite all that, however, Ohtani finished with 10.0 WAR. He led the majors in OPS 1.006 while going 10-5 in 23 starts. It may just be the best season ever. Eli De La Cruz arrives. Several rookies electrified the baseball world this season, but no player caused quite a stir like Eli De La Cruz. The red 6'5", 205-pound shortstop flashed all five tools. He hit mammoth homers, beat out impossible infield hits, and stole 35 bases in just 98 games. While he slowed down a little as the season wore on, his final slash, 235, 300, 410, is still pretty impressive for a 21-year-old infielder. Watch out for a breakout 2024. DeMar Hamlin's health. Rarely had the sports world stood so united than after Bills safety DeMar Hamlin's scary cardiac arrest during a Monday night football game against the Bengals. Thankfully, this story had a happy ending as Hamlin made a full recovery with the well wishes of the entire country behind him. Before the game, he got one of the biggest ovations of Super Bowl 57. And finally, Drew Maggi's payoff. Never give up on your dreams. It's easy to say, but harder to live. Drew Maggi reminded us that it could be done when he made his major league debut for the Pirates in April at age 33. Maggi had played 1,154 games over 13 years in the minor leagues. He struck out in his pinch hit debut, but finished the season 2-for-6. That's a .333 batting average in the majors. Not bad. What if you were a traveling GM? The results of old sports drafts read like the price of Apple stock 20 years ago, around 35 cents per share, versus $177 today. If only I had bought $35 worth of Apple back then, I would be driving a solid gold helicopter. In 1984, the Portland Trail Blazers chose Sam Bowie with the number 2 pick. That selection allowed a North Carolina guard by the name of Michael Jordan to fall to the Chicago Bulls. The mind naturally wanders to a time travel fantasy. You find enough $20 bills with 84 or earlier print dates. You scour secondhand stores for the ugliest, boxiest white and teal suits imaginable. Then you hop in your Wayback Machine, armed with nothing but a little dough and an iPhone 15 expertly hidden inside a cassette Walkman. Any veteran time traveler will tell you, though, don't overplan and don't be greedy. You arrive in Portland in the 80s and corner Trailblazers owner Larry Weinberg at McDonald's. You tell him you have urgent information concerning Michael Jordan and that he should hire you, a child in an oversized teal suit, to run his basketball team. When you get to the police station, they discover the iPhone hidden in your tape player. Pretty soon, the government is deconstructing your cell phone at Area 51, where you're being imprisoned next to a particularly smelly alien. Even if you could somehow manage to get hired by a team in the past, however, drafting off perfect information ain't all it's cracked up to be. Consider these two scenarios of time hopping gone amok. Logjam of Rams. Entering the 2001 draft, the St. Louis Rams were in an enviable position. They had won the Super Bowl just over a year ago and were coming off a respectable but disappointing 10-6 campaign. They entered the 01 draft with three first-round picks. There was the potential to create a super team. None of the players they picked, however, defensive tackles Damian Lewis and Ryan Pickett, plus safety Adam Archuleta, turned out to be Pro Bowlers. The draft was one of the deepest ever for wide receivers. Santana Moss, Chad Johnson, Reggie Wayne, Steve Smith, T.J. Houshmandzadeh. The Rams had Kurt Warner, a quarterback about to be on the wrong side of 30. They had receivers Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, both coming off 1,000-yard seasons. Marshall Faulk was probably the greatest pass-catching running back ever. Why not create the greatest offense of all time? With the benefit of hindsight, you could take Johnson, Wayne, and tight end Algie Crumpler. In the original timeline, the Rams lost to the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 36, the game that made Tom Brady a star. Now, by taking Wayne, they have a chance to prevent Brady and Peyton Manning from reaching their full potential, ensuring a decade of NFC dominance. The best player, however, isn't always the right player. Lewis, Pickett, and Archuleta may not have been superstars, but they helped the Rams' defense improve from 31st in points allowed to 7th. Meanwhile, Johnson and Wayne might bristle at the lack of playing time behind Bruce and Holt. You, the time traveler, attempt to trade Bruce and Holt, knowing Johnson and Wayne could be more explosive. But the trades are massively unpopular with the locker room. With the defense struggling and the offense in revolt, the Rams don't just fail to reach the Super Bowl, but miss the playoffs entirely. Enjoy being stuck in the year 2002. You're now unemployed. It takes 5 minutes to load a web page with no images. You could try to get your revenge by spoiling Star Wars Episode 2 for people, but they used to show the entire movie in the trailer in those days anyway. Invest in bonds. If you really want to make money as a time traveler, you don't go trying to manipulate the stock market. You go back to an extra century with a map of proven gold mines. This kind of big picture thinking can be applied in sports. Why try to squeeze an extra couple of touchdowns out of a football team when you can absolutely stack a baseball team for decades to come? Baseball has no mechanism for trading for more draft picks, but the Major League Baseball draft goes on forever and always produces plenty of late-round steals. Mike Piazza famously made the Hall of Fame after going to the Dodgers in round 62 in 1988. In 1985, the Chicago White Sox took catcher Kurt Brown with the number 5 pick. He never made the majors. Here's a list of guys they passed over at least once. Barry Bonds, Randy Johnson, Tino Martinez, David Justice, and John Smoltz. I'm not picking on the White Sox for any particular reason here. Any of the teams picking in the top 5 could have assembled in this roster with the benefit of hindsight. The only downside of this plan is that the point of the Major League draft, baseball draft, is to throw darts at the wall. When word gets out that the White Sox 12-year-old general manager fired all their scouts and then started hitting home runs on all of their draft picks, people are going to suspect only two things. You're either a time traveler or a wizard. And you better hope they think time traveler. This was an era before Harry Potter. Wizards were not in. Now let's go to End Zone, page 52. What's the call? Number one, Bank shot Whitney and Liz had plans to play a doubles match in the SI Kids Treehouse Canopy with Buzz and Kip. The boys, however, have gotten lost chasing a particularly big squirrel into the woods, so Whitney and Liz start without them. Liz serves, and Whitney returns with a shot that looks like it's going out of bounds. But without single sticks installed on their doubles court, the ball continues unimpeded to the doubles post, which deflects the ball back in bounds on Liz's side of the court. Caught off guard, Liz fails to return the shot, but complains that the ball was going out. Who gets the point? Do, 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 do. Answer, Whitney gets the point. When the single sticks are not installed, the doubles post are the net post. Next, unbearable. Peterborough Pumas point guard Hayden Mack is going to the free throw line for two shots in a game against the Barry Bears. Mack thinks the Bears players have left their lane spaces before the ball has been released on previous free throw attempts. Mack makes his first shot, but as he goes up to take the second, he pulls the ball back down at the last minute to catch the Bears players in the act. The Bears do leave their lane spaces, but they complain that Mack can't fake a free throw. What's the call? Do, 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 do. Answer, faking a free throw attempt is not allowed. There is no double violation for the Bears players who left early, and they get the ball. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.